simple syrup and bitters, a few dashes of those, and grapefruit seltzer all on top of that. And then you have a slightly slurring Asian John.
So you have rosé.
Rosé.
Simple syrup?
Yes.
That sounds sweet already. A rosé is a little sweet. You have simple syrup on top of
that. Not too much. Nothing overwhelming, but just like a few dribs and drabs of
simple syrup. And then grapefruit what? Seltzer?
Grapefruit seltzer.
That sounds refreshing, actually.
Doesn't it? God damn it.
I'm sold.
Little orange peel on that bad
sold.
Boy.
Like sold.
Nice, like a nice summer day up in this piece, in the bad studio.
Were you just like randomly inspired? Or
I think I was rip shit one night, and I thought, this sounds like a good
Shocker.
Idea. And yeah, kind of steered into the skid.
You rip shit? No.
It was definitely rip shit this week, man. God. Plenty of reasons to imbibe, I would say. Yeah. How are you, boys?
It's been a interesting week.
It's been a week. I was a little concerned. I didn't know if we were actually going to pull off this episode this week. Jack and I shot off a few messages in our group chat and radio silent from old ice. And
that never happens.
I know.
Like
I
there's know. usually a cursory response and say, hey, I have a pulse, like proof of life, something. We know he's there. This time, nothing until like game day today, but glad you're here in one piece. So
I mean, I know
it's been trying.
Just as a warning, I mean, I've been. I mean, you guys know how I feel about what happened this week. So
I feel.
I've been balling up a lot of emotions, and I've been trying to avoid talking about it. It's been hard to even like. I've been wanting to post something and I couldn't even do that. And so I don't know how tonight's going to go, and I'm trying, I don't know. I've been avoiding talking about it. So.
Feelings. Understandable. Yeah. Let's
so,
not.
I mean, I'm really happy that we do our show like several days, cuz you know, since it was what been like 4 days or
if
so.
If anybody doesn't know what's going on, we're talking about Kobe passing. Right?
Yeah, so thankfully, it's been several days, because initially I was tempted to reach out to you guys if you wanted to do an initial podcast like on Sunday or Monday or something like that.
That would have been raw. That would have been awful.
Just to get the pure emotions out, and I was just like, no, that wouldn't be good.
It's a horrible idea.
It wouldn't be good for broadcasting. I don't even know if I could have string words or thoughts together. So
a mumbling, stuttering prick, I imagine you would have been.
So I
think
I
all
mean,
of us,
just,
honestly.
You know, trying to, you know, just carry on with the week, and you know, it's been an interesting week. Yeah,
I can imagine. Well, we'll get to the feelings. We're gonna try to squeeze in some other stuff. We don't want it to be an hour long eulogy. We'll try to bring some levity, maybe a little sunshine to these dark days. But I think we'll go ahead and get started. So
yeah.
Oh, I
fire
have to,
away.
I still have a bit.
You have something. Oh, wait, there's a bit? I was thinking, perfect time to start the show. Nope.
No.
Bit season returns. I
have to. We have to keep it up. It's,
if you play Diddy, I'm like, every step you take. Oh, God.
No, I've thought. I trust me.
Sure, it crossed your mind.
Like, I went through every possible track that I could have. But
okay. All right, sorry.
But I was like, no, like. I was like debating on how deep to go in, so I picked this one out.
Should have played How Deep Is Your Love. I guess. I mean, we're Bone Thugs and Harmony people, so you could offend me with the worst Bone Thugs selection.
And I remember this video made me sad too. Like once
it scared me a little bit. the guy
walking around just like
yeah. And then
what the sound you heard in your head as he was blessing everybody with death,
and then all the eyes just turned black.
That's what got me, especially Uncle Charlie.
Oh my
God, poor Uncle Charlie.
Yeah,
like they were just chilling on the porch, and then like
on the stoop, right?
Hey,
if I couldn't get any more depressed, it's happening right here, right now.
Okay, that was a pretty sad video.
Like, I don't think we were ready for, like, that kind of trauma.
We're young, man. We're kids.
I don't want to see that on TRL. God damn it.
that was TRL around then?
I think that wasn't
like, TRL. That might have been grade.
Oh, like was that pre-TRL?
I think it was pre-TRL.
Might have been close.
It's close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They never made it to Times Square.
This is where I remember in my homeroom before school in eighth grade, where we had to find the lyrics to this song. So we went on to AOL and then the chat room, and we figured out how to get the lyrics to this song.
Did you get it from
through
the server?
A chat room?
Yeah, through a chat room or something. Because it was like back then it was Yahoo, right? So I think we were trying to use Yahoo. Somebody
Alta
found
Vista?
It. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. It was
Ask Jeeves.
GeoCities.
It was quite a process, but we printed it out and we figured out all their lyrics. And this was
were they even accurate?
It was close.
There's a lot of times I remember looking up Bone Thugs lyrics and it was just like, there's no way they said that.
Yeah, there's no way. Closed captioning is the source of truth.
MTV closed captioning, yes,
is always the source of truth.
But everyone just like reverts to like mumbling all the lyrics until the Lean on.
Guilty. To this day. To this very day.
Bone Thugs.
Every day.
We pray.
All right, we'll pray. So the song ends before we break down emotionally. It's coming. From the Bad Bit Studio in Fairfax, Virginia, live from Eddie's room, it's the Bad Slam Podcast. I am your hashtag moderator, Asian John. He's Jess Jack, the man pouring his drink loudly into the microphone is Ice.
Hello. ASMR, man.
ASMR.
Oh, sorry.
It's a Kirkland vodka.
It's cool.
I pour too much already.
No, always pour too much. I think if you're a part of the listening audience, you can tell visually on YouTube and audibly through the podcast, he always pours too much. Be that as it may, you can check us out on badslant.com. How am I supposed to react when that stuff happens? Like, why do people get into the whole ASMR thing? Like, what is it supposed to accomplish?
I hear it relieves
soothing?
A lot of stress. Yes, it's soothing.
That's why he's doing it.
Yeah.
He's stressed out.
Yeah.
Hearing certain sounds like that, really, it is soothing to me. But then hearing the sound of people eating and slurping, I don't know how people get into that.
I don't either.
That mukbang life?
Mukbang.
Not into it?
Mukbang.
You would know better than I.
Yep.
Find us on Instagram and Twitter at Bad Slant. Did anybody follow us this week? We're going to check the numbers. We got a couple, perhaps?
Yeah.
Okay. You threw up a gang sign. I figured that meant that had to mean something. But maybe that meant they got a good deal out of us last week. But if you followed us, we appreciate it. Check us out on YouTube. And if you're listening on the traditional podcast platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, Pandora, TuneIn, and Stitcher, I guess CastBox. Subscribe, leave us a 5-star review, and we will thank you all the same. It feels like ages ago where you threw this thing at us. Again, we talked about how you went radio silent on us, obviously with good reason, but you did a product review thing. You did the Jason Mark thing the other week, the cleaner for your shoes, and with middling results. You came back, like followed it right up, and you went to a competitor and tested out the Rejuvenator, which you can get on Amazon. I didn't realize they had this many different offerings. They have like a 3-piece kit for $15 or $14.88. Yeah. The 8-ounce bottle for $16.88. Like it's all over the place. They got plenty of versions and kits that are out there for you to utilize the product, but what was your experience with the Rejuvenator?
Yeah, I feel like Jason Mark and Rejuvenator are kind of like neck and neck right now, and that Pink Miracle stuff. I think they also have like a good following on social.
I have something I want to say, but I'm not going to do it. Continue on.
So I actually bought Rejuvenator first, thinking that it was a shoe cleaner. And it turns out that I actually bought the repellent, the stain in the water repellent. And I was like, oh, crap. So that's when I got into the whole like looking up different cleaners. And I was almost going to pull the trigger and get the Rejuvenator cleaner. And that's where I found Jason Mark. So I went down that road. But anyways, so Jason Mark came in first. Rejuvenator came in second. So then I decided to test that product next. And what it is, it's a stain and water repellent. So I had something like this back in the day where I sprayed it on my Tims.
And everybody. That was the markup when you bought a pair of Tims at Foot Locker.
Yeah. He probably bought it for me when I worked at Athlete's.
So it feels like it's the same product because whatever I used back in the day, it worked well because the whole gimmick was you spray that joint on your Tims. And you're like, yo, check this out. You spit on it, and then you shake your foot, and your spit just flies off.
Yeah, I don't know if it. I ever spat on my Tims. I'm going to go out on a limb there. But
that was like the coolest thing to do. And people are like, oh, crazy.
Nobody spit on the shoe.
No.
Maybe get a nice bottle of Fanta to see if that sucker stains. Or that. No spit.
So I basically did the same thing. So I took this rejuvenator, sprayed one of my Vans, my all-white Vans, because I wanted to make sure that thing stays as white as possible.
All white Astro Van. Yes.
So they say spray it, you know, do about 2 coats just to be safe. You could do more if you really want to be safe. Give it about 6 hours to dry. So I sprayed it at night, waited till the morning, and then I started pouring water on the Vans. Oh, dude, it works just like the Tims, man. The water just repelled off of the canvas. Because, like, I always thought, like, you know, Tims, what is it, like suede or whatever that material is?
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, it's made to kind of fight off water and all that stuff anyways, but on canvas always gets wet. That's the thing when you wear your chucks and all that stuff and you feel water, then your feet gets wet. Nah, man, this joint stays dry. It's crazy.
Does it alter the feel of the Vans on the outside?
Not at all.
It different?
Not at all. I thought it was going to...
Big deal.
I took the wifey shoes and sprayed it first just to make sure it didn't discolor it or anything.
Damn,
then,
bro. Like, you just don't respect her shoes.
She doesn't care, man. She doesn't love white shoes as much as I do. So
I didn't know you loved white shoes.
He has a preference.
Yeah. So I sprayed hers first. Color. It didn't change color. So I was like, okay, it's safe. So I sprayed mine afterwards. And then, it worked. So then now I'm going to spray almost everything I got. But it sucks because they do say clean the shoe first. And
you should probably clean the shoe.
Yeah. So seriously. Luckily the shoe was already clean. So I didn't have to clean it first. But now every other shoe that I want to spray it, it's like I gotta got to clean it first.
Okay.
So it's a lot of work, but it's cool once it's working, and yeah, I'm excited to wear it in the rain now. See, it bounces off.
You gotta spit on it beforehand.
Oh, you want to see that demo?
No.
Spit on it. Come on. Spit on it.
That sounds gross, man.
Sorry.
Disgusting. I don't know where my mind went. Well, that came from happier times. Well, I was actually excited that you followed up with the. I've been curious about the whole thing. I think I've got like Instagram, like me as part of one of those guys who like checks all those sneaker videos now because this guy, and I'm checking shoes and I'm getting cleaning kits and it's all showing up in my feed. But I was really
that's not
curious.
My fault.
It's partially your fault.
Oh my god!
Yeah, you got me in it.
Jason Mark, rejuvenator.
Release dates and rejuvenators. It's all my feed's going to be going.
You know that joint? Like, if you start saying stuff, your phone will pick it up, and then you start seeing stuff in your feed about it.
So there's that theory, right? You think it or you say it.
It shows up.
It shows up, or they plant cookies on your.
The weirdest part was I was doing work for one client out in Cali, and then I never use Facebook. The first day I pulled up Facebook, that client popped up in my ads because they were running Facebook ads.
They're also geotagging you, right?
I was like, so they're geolocation. Man, that's crazy. Like, stop spying on me, man. I hate Facebook.
Your phone is spying on you 24/7. Whether it's on or off, it's always...
It's fine when they spy, but when it shows up in my feed because I spoke about it,
But I'm also saying you were at your client site, right? Were you close to
your
client's?
No, okay. The client's in Cali.
Okay.
And
He went back to Cali. Yeah.
I emailed them. I talked to them.
The email?
And yeah. So they're like reading all my stuff, man.
Yes, man. It's kind of how the game works.
Yeah, it's crazy. It still blows my mind.
They deal with data.
Technology, man.
Doesn't he work in tech?
I do.
We're going to have to crack this nut eventually.
Yeah. Like, I'm creeped out by it. But,
it's all for show.
But... Yeah, I have to leverage this stuff. It's weird.
You should learn to leverage it for our purposes. We need to show up in other people's
Baseline.
You're going to show up in your own damn feet.
Damn.
That's what's going to happen.
True.
That's what's up.
Maybe that's what we need. We need to start doing some Facebook ads. We don't give Facebook enough love.
Even though everyone in and literally everyone and their moms is on Facebook.
I keep banking on the idea that Facebook's going to shut down.
It's not. It's so many
it's
users.
It's a monolith.
Oh, man.
You know what won't shut down? Hmm. Chinese New Year.
Lunar New Year.
Thank you. That has been like a something that's stuck in my craw. I know Mrs. Jack is very vocal about that. It is not Chinese New Year. It is Lunar New Year. I feel like I'm Ronnie Chang when I say that. It's not Chinese New Year. It's Lunar New Year.
So you picked the one Asian song. I'm sorry.
It's iPad. Still a mod.
He's got one.
He got one.
He's literally got
unbelievable.
One. Well, Happy New Year, boys. How did you celebrate?
Well, do you want something else?
No, you're fine. That's fine.
I mean, we're all going to like just be bummed out by the time the show's over anyway. So keep it as emo as you possibly want it to be. Jack, what did you do?
We went to Luther Jackson Middle School, which had a...
Oh, I saw the signs.
Yeah, they had...
opened up my eyes, they did.
Yeah, they had a Chinese New Year festival. So they had a bunch... It was like a... They had a show, a talent show, I guess, or just a cultural show. And then they had exhibits and vendors there.
Exhibit was there? Did he pimp a ride?
No.
Oh.
It was just a bunch of vendors there. It was pretty small. It was cool.
There's a thing about Pimp My Ride.
But, oh my god.
But keep on.
I didn't even mean to go there.
That was Saturday, and then Sunday we went out to DC to the Freer
the gallery.
The Gallery of Art. And that's the Asian art exhibit or art gallery. There's two of them. There's their Freer and then the Sackler. They're connected. I forgot.
They're on the grounds of the Smithsonian.
Yes, the castle.
Yes.
So yeah, we went there.
The vaulted castle.
It was just for the kids.
I know all too well.
Yeah, it was. That was like a nightmare. it's just so crowded. we took the metro out there, so
looks like crazy vacations.
Yeah, first time with the kids out in the metro, so
they must have loved it, right?
Yeah, they loved it, so that was cool. We only went out there for a few hours just because that's all we could handle, and then we headed on back. But it's pretty uneventful.
Sounds uneventful.
Yeah, it is. You know, just try to expose them as much as possible to Lunar New Year and some of the traditions. Had them say Happy New Year to me, so I can give them cash.
Can they say it?
Major Ken.
Okay.
And so he was actually trying to get my daughter to say it too, and she was
kind of his sister.
She tried.
Yeah.
But you know. There was a piece of chocolate in there too.
Did it sound like she was trying to like recite the words to a Bone Thugs and Harmony song?
Yeah, it was great. I was like, okay, I guess, and you know, so it's all good.
Sounds oddly familiar. Did you do anything to celebrate Lunar New Year? Lunar
kinda,
New Year?
Kinda, not really. We
no, because the Thais, they don't do anything.
Thais, we have our own New Year's.
Oh, the Thai New Year.
It's like in April.
Maybe that's why there's this whole Chinese thing that there's a beef going on. I don't know. Differentiating.
I guess that makes sense. For some reason, before I always thought it was Southeast Asia that celebrated like around April. I guess not really for
not
you guys.
No.
Yeah. The beef is real.
Yeah, because Thai, Cambodian, and Laos, they celebrate around April.
It's all in April. I'm like, what kind of calendar is this? It's like, dude, it's warm now. It can't be the new year now.
It's the best time to have temple food, man. Come on. That's why they timed it in April,
I guess. I'm sure it's delicious. It doesn't sound delicious when you call it temple food.
Oh yeah, to the people that don't know, April, that's the time of the year. Find your local Thai, Cambodian, or Lao temple and go there and get some food on Saturday, Sunday.
Find that weird coworker at work with a really smelly, spicy food and then follow them to wherever they go that weekend in April.
Yeah, it's somewhere around like, actually, I feel like well, for Thai people, it's the entire month.
The Thai people.
There's an event every weekend of the month. But I think for like Lao, it's always somewhere around like the 15th to 20th. It's always in that middle of the month.
Got it. Okay, time out. Are you telling me they all celebrate different times? Like the Thai, the Cambodian, and the Lao? They all diverge?
For some reason, I don't know if there's an actual day. Is there an actual day?
I don't know. I'm not Thai.
I just know there's like... It's always like the third week of
everything's
April.
A what? Like, come on, like, figure it out. Just like,
what?
Same calendar invite, people. Same calendar invite. Lunar New Year. Thai, Chinese, Cambodian. Same thing.
We got Ronnie Chang here.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I know. Did you watch the special?
You just watched
I did watch it. It was like 2 weeks ago.
It was pretty good, though.
It was
right?
Fine, yeah.
It was fine.
It was fine.
Yeah, it was fine. Yeah.
So
I didn't get the Liam vibe out of it.
Not at all. No. Well, it's the whole like Fabi. thing.
Maybe the content very Liam, the delivery slightly off, but it's a conversation for a different day.
Yeah, so this past weekend we ended up for Chinese, it's not really for Chinese New Year, but the wifey, her birthday was
last week. Yeah. Sometime this month.
And because we she kind of went to visit her friends for her birthday instead of hanging out with me and the kids, you know. No big deal.
Did
no
we document that on the UFC
show? I don't remember.
We talked about having the kids for the weekend.
Oh, we did? Yeah. So we decided to do a proper celebration. So when she came back, then we actually drop off the kids with the sister, and then she took care of the kids and had a sleepover. So then we had the whole night to ourselves. So yeah, it was like the night went so many different ways because we were like, oh, we could do so much. And then
you can.
One of the ideas that we had was like, it would be nice to do a spa treatment because like I think we've both been like super stressed out and just like we could relax, kind of recharge a little bit. So we tried to get, I didn't realize how hard it was just to sign up for a massage.
It's like, tough.
It's tough, yeah, man. It's tough. I don't know if it's this time of year, but it is impossible. You can't just call up places and be like, hey, can I get a massage
tomorrow?
It's like
2 weeks out,
at least. Yeah, it's nuts.
There's no walk-ups.
Did you know this?
I don't go to a lot of Yankee Cranky, so I don't know.
Yeah, you need lead time for a lot of these places. You can't just call up the night. So like I called
up. What
if
you said cash only?
Well, certain places, I'm sure you can work a deal.
Why is it so dark in here?
So I called so many places, and I got on a wait list for at the Mandarin Oriental, and then we finally they called us back the like less than 24 hours before, and then it was like, someone just canceled. We can get you in.
Sweet.
Do you want it? And if not, it's
move
cool.
On. Yeah.
We're like, do we? And then finally, we decided to do it. It's cool, man. It's been quite a while since I had like a massage. Did the whole I won't even get into the massage part, but like the facilities,
hell else is there?
Good or bad, yeah.
But the facilities is cool, man. At Mandarin Oriental in DC, there's like a pool. So if you when you sign up for the massage, you can come early and take advantage of the whole space. So there's a gym. So I went to the gym for once and not rush because I had kids.
You went to the gym?
The gym. There's a pool. So after the gym, I went to the pool. There was a steam room, a sauna.
Okay.
It wasn't a hot tub.
You didn't take a schwitz?
A what?
He doesn't understand.
No.
You literally stole the word out of my head. Sorry, go ahead.
There was not a hot tub, but a cold tub, I guess, for people.
So is it from like the sauna to like the cold tub and then back and forth? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then there was this
I've done that.
There was this one little shower thing where they have like different settings where you can do like the jet where it shoots at you. Or you can do like the rainforest where it comes down heavy.
I'd want the jets.
Was there like a blinking gold button that you could press?
Yeah, there was a lot of...
So the golden shower, like you went for, like you're just banging the thing nonstop.
I went for that first, and
of course you did.
I didn't like the
this
golden
is the
shower.
Worst smelling shower ever.
it was really misty, and I didn't like that.
It's too warm.
So after that,
it smells
one,
like asparagus
I
in here.
This man, you keep walking into it.
but it was. I think I was more impressed by the facilities than anything. I think. That's the only reason why I would say if you guys can ever sneak away to have your own like a couples night or something and you can go. I think the facilities were so cool. It's just like to not have to worry about, well, you don't have kids, AJ.
I was going
to
say every night is couples night
for
AJ.
That's true. But when you have kids and they're always around you and you finally get a night to not worry about them and you can just take advantage of.
Of course.
Go to the gym as long as you want. You can sit in the steam room without hearing, like, just like, you know, what?
Yammering.
I don't know.
Yeah, so to not have to deal with any of that and just like sit in peace for once where you could just like shut off your brain, it's the coolest feeling in the world. Like that, I didn't even need the massage after that. I could have just like left and been more than happy.
Just put ice in a quiet room.
Yeah, that's
what this is the best. Oh, God.
I didn't realize how long it's been since I've just like sat and shut off my brain. And that was like the coolest thing of this past weekend.
Nice.
But
it sounds like you need that now.
Yeah. But after that, it was great because we somehow snuck in a reservation at Anju. So like, you
ooh,
know, so Anju is right at the moment is one of the hottest Korean restaurants in DC.
So hot right now.
So hot right now.
DC's hottest Korean restaurant is Anju. It's got everything.
I don't want to hate
it that good. You can't get the words out.
I don't want to hate on it so much, but I think I'm spoiled. That's the problem, right? Because it's like married to a Korean.
Oh, I thought he wasn't going to club it, but he's going to club it.
I'm
going to
club it.
Destroy.
Damn. One, married to a Korean. So, so I have delicious, like authentic Korean dishes, like all the time.
Right. All the time.
Like almost like at least monthly, you know, there's always something that the parents are whipping up, and it's awesome, man. Like, so anytime you go to a restaurant, it's never going to be on that level.
Right.
Then you go like, then the prices, it's so overpriced, man, right, for what they're serving down in Anju. But I get it. You know, there's not a lot of Korean restaurants in D.C. So
DC prices.
If you go to D.C., it's impossible to find a good Korean restaurant. So I get what they're trying to do because they're probably one of the only Korean restaurants in D.C. And so people will pay. People will pay for anything down there. So I don't hate on them for that. It's just I think we're spoiled by... Jack would probably agree with me, you know, being married into a Korean family. And yeah, we have Annandale.
For you.
We have Annandale here.
Yeah, we live close
there's
to.
There's so much, like there's so many good places in Annandale. That,
and then Centerville is the new Annandale.
And even Centerville.
Yeah.
Between those two places, you can get stuff that's way better than Anju. Ooh. But it's just Anju is like the package in D.C., you know. Like, you know, and I give them credit. They're serving like things that are like classics, like they have like kimchi jjigae and like jjampong and mandu and, you know, the things that, you know, you would typically eat with the family. But
they got bibimbap, and then they got, you know, they got kamjatong.
Yeah,
that's a pork shank stew, or normally it's with pork neck.
And see, look at this guy.
That thing is delicious.
If you go
to a restaurant, which I know in Annandale has a really good one, it'll change your worldview. It's really good.
It's just, it's
my
hard.
My worldview is changing right now, but for completely different reasons.
Yeah, I mean, these prices are
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
You see, there's juk. There's like rice porridge for like $12, man.
I think every Asian culture has that rice porridge, right?
Yeah. You can make juk at home. It's literally rice and water. It's like,
yo, what's
like,
up with these?
Come on,
what's
man.
Up with these portions,
I made juke
man.
In my pants just like the other day.
Oh, they got that lotus root.
So for being like one of the like the hottest restaurants in DC, it's like
it's hot right now.
It's like the food is good. I can't say the food isn't good. It's just we've had better. I think we have access to better.
Of course.
But there's a lot of people that don't. So when they go to Anju, they're like, this is amazing. This is awesome.
It's
this is
so
the closest.
Good. Okay, so this was recommended to you is what you're saying.
No, I mean, we've heard so much about it. So I was just like, I told Lily initially.
Secondhand first?
Yeah. Oh, shit. I said her name. Oh, fuck. So I told Wifey, and I was just like, this is new Korean.
28 minutes. That's when you bloop.
Okay. Thank you. So I told the Wifey initially, I was like, hey, there's this new Korean restaurant. We should check it out. It looks actually pretty nice, like in the photos, like the atmosphere, the ambiance, it's pretty
decor
cool.
Looks amazing.
It's like a mix that mix of traditional with modern, all that stuff. Like
looks like a West Elm in there.
It's nice. And then when I looked at the menu, it has like a lot of the classics that I love jjampong, man. That's like one of my favorite things. And to see it on the menu,
it's a spicy seafood soup.
Yeah,
I was waiting for an explanation.
Oh, sorry.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
He don't. These people
oh, yeah,
know.
I forgot,
yeah.
Man.
It's supposed to be hand pulled noodles.
I don't understand the words coming out of your mouth.
It's spicy seafood broth. It's got you got mussels. You got squid. Sometimes octopus in it and shrimp for sure.
Hanger
it's very
steak.
Good. It's very good. No.
So that's one of the dishes that I ordered. dude, the squid was like literally this tiny. You know they have those tiny squids where it's like about the size of like a pinhole. Yeah, that's the squid that they give you. The shrimp, you know, like you get it in Annandale, and they put like several like whole shrimps in.
Yeah,
your
with jump, the head.
Yeah, with the head and everything. There, they take the shrimp and they cut it up into pieces to make it feel like there's more shrimp.
But, yeah, but they do that to make it palatable for a wider audience. Right?
For the whites, okay? Yeah. Let's just get it out there. White people are weird about food.
They're introducing Korean cuisine to a wider audience. So that's what they're doing.
A wider audience, man.
That's just the way it is. We're used to eating it like raw, like just the way the Koreans eat it, but this is just introducing. Now, maybe this gets other people to be like, hey, let's actually go and eat real Korean food. Let's try like a real authentic place.
It's like me going to Asia, opening up an American restaurant and taking a hot dog and cutting up into 8 pieces and be like, here you go. You know, like here's a mini piece and that's a hot dog and here's a mini piece. It's like, no, it's like you don't do that.
He's really rip shit about this.
Like I was insulted that they cut up a shrimp.
Insulted.
They cut up a shrimp into 4 pieces.
Well, that's how they can charge so much.
Come on, man.
Well, you know, it's funny. I just looking at Anju's website. It's Anju is the second restaurant from the Fried Rice Collective.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like,
Fried Rice.
The proprietors behind Chico.
I don't know.
Chico
and I sang their praises many months ago when we went to the ballpark.
That's right.
Had the bulgogi.
The bulgogi.
Which
was that them?
That's them.
Oh yeah.
Same restaurant group. But I mean I think you made a cataclysmic mistake in that you went to DC and expected to get like really good Korean food with the background that you have. You should, at the very least, you should have lowered your expectations rather than like raise them. But just because it's in a fine dining setting doesn't necessarily mean it's going to eclipse what you know and love about Korean food. Like you have way too much context to be someone who can appreciate this kind of glamorized, tightened up version of the food you know and love. Mm-hmm. Like it's. I think it was a mistake on your part to think that it could blow past what you already know about Korean food.
And, you know, and again, you know, I know I've been bashing the hell out of Anju, but I would have to
I'm waiting for the turn. Is the turn coming?
Like, the food is great.
Yeah.
Right? The food, like when you're eating it.
I would not have guessed that from the last 27 minutes.
I'm just saying it's really overpriced. You can get better in Annandale or Centerville. Especially if you have Korean in your family, you can get better home cooked meals. But
you know a guy named Kim from middle school? Yeah, you have a line to good Korean food.
But I the food is good though. When you eat it, you're like, this is tasty. It's done right.
I can't make sense of this review.
Mandu is like their dumpling. The dumpling is one of the best mandus I've ever had. Like
King mandu,
like the wrapper that they use and the way they cook it is really light and airy. Something about it is just really good. One of my favorite dishes on the menu was I'm gonna torture this, but it's like the sangsanggui. But it's like it sounds like Chinese or something. But it's their seared branzino. They take a branzino, which is like a fish. They deep fry it and then
a whole fish.
And they serve it on this plate where they have it elevated on sitting on top of radish, the Korean radish, and then underneath the radish is like a sea of like soy sauce and sesame and vinegar and all that stuff. So the sauce is good, the radish is good, the fish is cooked perfectly, it's seasoned really nicely. The problem that I have with it is the minute you start cutting into the fish, it just falls into the soy sauce. Then it gets really like soaked in soy sauce.
Maybe that was by design.
Sauce on the side.
Bingo. If they did that.
What's his name-o? Right?
If they did that
Bingo
that's...
Bingo was his name-o.
That's the proper way to serve that dish. But you know why? I hated it the minute that it fell into the soy sauce.
Because
but,
he's Thai.
Yeah.
Yeah. But prior to that, it's amazing, man. The fish is cooked
Thai.
Perfectly.
I talk Thai. No, I'm sorry about that.
But no. But I think overall, like the food is good. You won't be disappointed. You're going to leave really happy.
4-star on a scale of 1 to 4. I think that's a rating scale for restaurants.
I don't know.
Is it 1 to 4? 4-star, like 1-star is, you know, decent.
Yeah. I'd give it a 3.5.
That's very good.
That's really good.
3.5 because...
You bashed it for like 15 minutes.
I have not once said the food was bad.
No, the food was great.
I just don't think it's worth the amount they're charging.
So that is that why the half is gone?
Yeah.
Wow. So it's really good. Okay, understood.
The food is good.
Yeah.
The price is not.
Got it. Okay, I totally get it. It's fine. But his
cocktails are good.
But I would hope so.
Haven't we had issues with his rating system in the past?
It's been pretty all over the place. Yeah, it's a
How would you have scored this?
I don't know. If the food was good, but the price... Maybe three.
Three?
Yeah, 3 out of 4. So
you have to think the overall experience, but...
You know why I gave him the extra 0.5? Because the cocktails were good. Okay. I enjoyed the cocktails.
Because he was drunk and devoid of kid.
They,
like
had, they had good mixologists there. Cool. The bartenders were great, actually. I give them a lot of credit. They did some cool stuff, mixing soju and cocktail. There was a soju bourbon. There was a soju lemonade. They did
soju bourbon.
They did
explain that one. Actually, don't explain that one. It's fine.
You just
mix that.
It's one of those cocktails you got to try.
I'll go myself. Right,
but it's good. I give them a lot of credit for what they're doing. I think they're being really creative. I think they learned a lot from the original restaurant Mandu, and then they did Chico supposedly. Yes. So I think they've learned so much.
Supposedly, like I'm alive.
And I did see that one of their partners going into this one was the homeboy that did Andrew Kim that did Matchbox. So he worked with them on the hospitality side and the experience and all that stuff.
So he makes pizza and Korean food?
Well, the chefs was Danny Lee and the other guy. So him, like they
probably
have experience.
Named Kim.
They have experience on the recipe side and how to serve the food, and Danny Lee's mom was involved in Mandu, I think on this menu they have like a Mama Lee's classic, so it's like mom's recipe, right? Mm-hmm. But Andrew Kim has been doing like Matchbox, so he's familiar with doing restaurants, so I think he brought the presentation side of it to the restaurant in addition to like
front of house,
yeah. So which is needed, which I think they're doing a great job with. I still think they could do better, but I think it's good.
such a middling review.
I don't want to beat him up.
That's fine. Let's just move on.
I just feel like it's wrong of me to criticize him so much because I don't own a restaurant. Because
they're Asian.
Because it's like...
Everyone has an opinion.
You know, everyone has an opinion, yeah. But...
Everybody's a critic.
Yeah. I mean, it's I don't know. I can't help but criticize, man. I've tried restaurants. I'm a designer. I don't know.
Whoa, he's tried restaurants, people. Breaking news whenever it feels like breaking.
Isn't that one of those sounds?
What the literal hell is going on? Here's my restaurant review of the week. Go eat at Clarity. It's great. They have booze. They have good food. Go eat there.
Nice.
Yeah. That was my celebration after Lunar New Year. It was a yoga company party for Mrs. AJ and
sounds amazing.
They're affiliated with the Clarity restaurant in Vienna, Virginia.
Oh, that's right, I remember that.
Have you ever been to Clarity?
We went there, you asshole.
Oh yeah. Did you also get that big tomahawk?
I didn't get the tomahawk. You guys shared it. I didn't. Yeah, you guys got the tomahawk.
Oh, that's great.
Ass hat.
So good. They don't keep the same menu on a day-to-day basis. It changes every day. The chef is fantastic. They're connoisseurs of whiskey and great mixologies. Go eat there. Don't go to the crazy Korean place that I just went to because you walk out confused. So there's that. That was my... I went to Clarity, and I'll be really quick about this. We got... Not shithouse drunk, but it was very fortuitous that I decided to tell Mrs. AJ that we would take an Uber there. Not that I had like a discount code, took advantage of it, got there, and didn't really expect to get like shithouse drunk.
Hammered.
But I mean, the wine starts flowing, and then all of a sudden the single barrel whiskey starts flowing. Oh my
God. He was drinking Four Roses all night.
Four Roses, single barrel, and then they broke out something called Weller. Like I guess it was it sounds cool.
Was that the first time you had it?
Yes.
Weller's is
probably won't be the last time.
Nice.
So there was a lot of merriment that evening, even though it was kind of a somber day. But we threw him back, and then I came home and tried to watch the Royal Rumble and passed the hell out. So
Did you have unlimited Wellers?
I had a lot of Weller. By that, okay, so it started with Four Roses, single barrel, and threw back a bunch of those with red wine. And then
no wonder you were shit faced. Holy smokes, man!
And then
with a bunch of red wine.
And then the Weller came.
I was trying to bring a bottle of Weller tonight. I heard there was supposed to be a surprise drop this morning. So I was trying to
shock drop.
I was trying to go
the liquor sleuth over here.
I was trying to go scoop one up for us so we can have open a brand new bottle of Weller.
That's what you're trying to do.
But it never happened. Never came.
L season.
Caught another L. Well, I think now is as good a time to crack open the bottle that you did bring.
Let's do it, man.
Yeah. We talk about like it being a somber week. You already alluded to the Kobe story. I'll go ahead and start pouring, but if you guys want to just kind of lean into...
Yeah, we'll lean into this.
I guess
kid.
Like probably the biggest story of the year already. Like this is already 3 weeks in.
Yeah, it's only 3 weeks. It's not because it... 3 o'clock Sunday... I started hearing reports. So we have a big group chat with our friends here, the beer tender Liam, Uncle Phil,
the Fobs, friends of Bad Slang.
Yeah, Billy's in there, I think. Roffler is in there.
But Billy only comments when it's about naked.
When
chicks.
It's like TNA, like he's just like, oh snap, right? Let's do this.
Oh, this will be.
He's like, okay, but. You know, someone posted saying, hey, there's reports that Kobe Bryant had passed away. And, it was very shocking. I think
it sounded like a headline from The Onion.
Yeah, because TMZ reported it. And I think the link that we got initially was from People Magazine or something, USP. I don't know what it was.
I hate all those publications anyway.
So they're just trying to beat the rush to get to break the story first, right? So
I was like, no. And if you want to break a story, don't break it to me with like TMZ or People or
but they tend to get the
I have no idea.
They're
how,
so though. Right. It's insane.
Yeah, they're right all the time, dude. Oh hey man, wait. I'll just get this. No.
That's all you're gonna okay.
No. No.
You wanna put that off to the side.
Now. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so, sorry. Sorry, I just
no, that
derailed the show. We started getting reports, and then I don't know about you guys, but I just got home from being out in DC, so I told my wife, and she goes, "Get the F out of here. There's no way. Like that is the sentiment everyone has. Is no effing way that happened, because you see a person of that stature." With that much resources, and you're like, there's no way.
And he's so young and healthy, man.
He's only like 4 or 5 years older than us, so he's like kind of our age.
He's still in the prime of his life. He was starting the second third of his life, right? You just expect to live to like, let's just say 80 or 90, right? Typically. So you're going through the second third of your life, so
he's like Morty Seinfeld. Like
yeah, but he
two.
Had lived a very full life at that point, so that's fine. But he's a family man, and so with four beautiful girls, he had a wife, and he's at the top of the world. Like he had done everything he wanted to do career wise, so now he's moving on. So you hear about the events, and then I turn on the news, and I'm like, there's no, and you just see, I just go to ESPN. I'm not gonna go to CNN because they're terrible. But what I will say is,
ooh, Fox News Jack says CNN sucks.
No, I'm just saying that they're always everyone's trying to beat everyone else. But at least ESPN, everyone was kind of reserved, which was very surprising.
They actually waited for the Pro Bowl to kick off. Like there was a solid 40 minutes of when the initial report came out about Kobe passing, and then like clicking on ESPN. Radio silent, nothing on the crawl. You're waiting for the other shoe to drop.
But they did announce it before the Pro Bowl, or did they stop the Pro Bowl?
No, in the middle of the game.
Middle of the game, right? That's what I thought.
I don't.
They just put up a graphic.
Is it Joe Tessitore? I don't know the guy's name, but he does the Monday Night Football. They didn't throw up a graphic in the middle of the game. He's like, we're getting reports now that Kobe Bryant has passed.
He's passed away.
So it was in the game, and everyone was pretty oblivious to it. It seemed like a weird environment, like looking around the stadium where. I can imagine people are looking at their cell phones and, they're probably seeing the reports as they come out, but it seemed pretty quiet in the crowd. And I don't know what the Pro Bowl is supposed to look like, not very raucous or anything, but it just seemed like a weird kind of atmosphere Everyone kind of on pins and needles, like waiting for like confirmation to happen. And then it happens after the game kicks off. And like nobody really knows how they're supposed to proceed with the game. Like,
I mean, everyone's has heavy hearts. I mean, this is the type of moment where you kind of remember where you were at, right? There's just like, I don't remember any type of event like this for.
I have one.
What's up?
When JFK Jr. died.
I mean, but we were so young then.
Do you remember?
Well, I'm not saying that I knew exactly where I was, but I'm saying like it's a type of moment where like it stops like the national consciousness. Like everyone kind of like just freezes. It doesn't matter where you are necessarily, but like it kind of hits everybody in the same way. Like, holy hell, like he died. Like it stops everybody in what they're doing in the moment. Like for us, we'll remember the Kobe aspect, Kobe passing, but I think it struck a mass audience in a similar way because the Kennedy family has their legacy and their history of tragedy.
I think it's more of a national thing, more of a U.S. Because you think about Kobe and his status.
It's international, but I think
he's a global icon.
But like, I think President Kennedy being assassinated, like it.
I mean, for sure. Like, it's the president of the United States.
Right, but I'm saying like his family, their tradition, like the immense tragedy that they felt and they experienced, it still had like resonance elsewhere outside of the U.S. But definitely it hit here, Kobe passing, and for me it kind of felt it's the closest thing that I can imagine, and I think Princess Di passing, that had an international impact because everybody knows Princess Di. So,
but Ice, you being the biggest Kobe fan,
we would I seriously thought when it happened like. We're just going to cede the floor to Ice to do like a 30-minute eulogy on Kobe because like I'm not qualified to speak on it. To be perfectly honest, I kind of despise him as a player. If we're laying our cards on the table, I was never a fan to that degree, but that's because I'm a byproduct of the whole Jordan Kobe debate and like that nonsense, which seems so like minuscule at this point. But I'll cede the floor to you here now, like. I know you felt shock in all of this.
Yeah, yeah. It's still hard to
find words.
I don't even know if I can talk about it, man.
I hear you, man.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's all good.
I mean, like, well, you're wearing the jersey, and you already took a shot at the bourbon,
You're the biggest fan that I know of in my circle of friends. That and our friend Doyle. I mean, he was growing up.
Did you want to call him into this?
Yeah, he was a huge Kobe fan. I haven't reached out to him, and
I keep thinking like time is gonna help, but
it's like 4 days after. Like we're way too close to this thing.
It's still top of mind for everyone.
Yeah, because it's like you know Sunday it hit me hard, man. It was like you know
you were the first person I thought of. Like
I was with family, and you know we're just kind of hanging. It was just you know Sunday. Trying to get together with everyone and just, you know, have kind of our end of the week, hang out and then carry on with the week. And saw the text and I was just like, no, they can't be right, man. It's like, it's you know, I don't trust sources outside of like, you know, real news sources.
Yeah.
And it was just like I was in straight. I think I've been in denial for the past several days, man.
I'm sure.
So Sunday was hard. Monday was hard. You know, I had it glued. Had it just watching all the ESPN coverage and all the different news coverage.
Did it feel like the coverage helped?
No, not at all. You know,
you're kind of glued to the TV, but you don't want to be glued to the TV. Because
it's like I kept hoping for some sort of closure. Like once they start getting more facts about what's happened, and I can accept it. But seeing how people are reacting to it, like, it's, you know,
it's harder.
It doesn't make it easier.
It makes it even harder.
But I mean,
so I turned off the TV and I tried to just give it some time, you know, just to avoid all the coverage and I can carry on with my day.
Yeah.
And then when, you know, I usually at the end of the night before I go to sleep, I pull up social media and here it is again. And I see, you know, other teams paying respects. I see other, you know, players paying respect. people in high school, like of all different ages, and it's heartbreaking. And then so like every night, like when I feel like I've gotten past the point of denial and acceptance, it all comes back.
Yeah. It's so, not going to be. The more that comes out about it will not make it easier, because it was an accident, right? It's senseless. There isn't a purpose, right? So there's not this, well, you know, someone did something to him. It was just, there was so many factors that went into the whole situation that just seems like it could have been avoided. And usually, and obviously an accident will always be like, okay, there was all these things leading up to it that could have been avoided, right? So
you and see, especially you get, if and it, you know, like I loved him to death, man. Like I supported him through all the, like the ups and downs, like through the scandal, through the breaking up the team and this and that. So if he passed away, that's one thing. Like I think for some reason it would have been tough, but it would have been easier to accept.
Stomach it. Like if he had heart disease.
But the fact that it was his daughter and her teammates and friends so and family. Sudden. Along with him, it just compounded the pain. Yeah.
That, you being a parent too. For sure.
And it's just like, God, man, it's just, I can't even fathom the idea of like how much he loved his daughter. Yeah. And it was an act of supporting his daughter's passion. Yeah. And that's how they went out. And that's the worst thing, man.
It's horrifying.
You know, it's like I would do anything for my girls, and if they wanted to fly somewhere or do something, I'd be right there, right next to them. So to see them go out that way, it's tough, horrible, man.
It's hard. It's hard to stomach. Yeah. Yeah. I tried not to like visualize anything, but I feel like the tributes are, they can be helpful in that you get to see other people experiencing the same things that you are in terms of grieving. But it also, it kind of keeps it like top of mind, and it's hard to compartmentalize, and it's hard to try to get away from it. So, it's helpful and it's harmful in that you can't really get away from it.
It's tough, man. I mean,
it's kind of like any tragedy.
It's like any tragedy.
Like you want to get away from it, but like you kind of want to experience it as well. Cause you want to grieve. Like if you have a sense that this is going to affect you in the long term, you want to be able to grieve properly, but it still sucks the entire time that you're going through it. You don't want to just bury it and let it simmer below the surface, because that can do just as much harm as experience it full on.
Like I just don't know. Like I kept trying to figure out like why am I so impacted? I didn't know the guy, man. He's not a close friend of mine. He's not family. Like why. Why does it bother me so much? Like I don't think I was, you know, like I had family that passed away. It didn't bother me. Mm-hmm. I, you know, there's other, I mean, even like, you know, I grew up idolizing Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson passed away. I was torn up, but I don't think I was this emotional. So I was just like, why is it?
Well, because his circumstances of how he died, right? So I think that's the reason, the circumstances. He died of a drug overdose. Like you think about.
He was taken.
Yeah, he was taken. But this was, it was senseless. There's no rhyme or reason for it, right?
He was just gone.
He's like, just gone.
Just disappeared.
He's 41 years old.
Without any real purpose.
And also he was like in the forefront of your mind because LeBron James had just passed him on the scoring list, right? So he was like being talked about. So he was in the front of it. So it's like you saw him more recently out and about watching. He was the first time in years since he had been to a Laker game.
Do you know what it is? He became more of a person after he retired.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Because he made
that's exactly it.
Yeah. He made an incredible impact as a player. Like he is. So I'm always going to fall on one side of the argument when it comes to Jordan and Kobe. It's just my natural inclination. But to an entire generation of fans and players, player specifically. Now he is their Jordan.
Yeah, he's the guy that they idolize. So they'd be like, "Yo, Kobe." Like,
we didn't grow up in that age.
Yeah,
man.
We didn't grow up in that age.
We aged out. Like, you appreciated him, but I guess for me personally, like, I didn't stick around long enough to appreciate or to become that level of fan for him. So I don't have that same like reverence for him, but as a player, but. In hindsight, you know, after the tragedy, it kind of crystallized where, okay, I see the perspective now. Where Jordan filled that that role as almost like a basketball deity, Kobe was that same thing for this entire swath of players and kids that are just like a few years behind me. Yeah. So it starts to make sense now, and it kind of like makes sense in terms of the impact that. His death has had in the days since. Like, it's very easy to be dismissive and cynical and say, like, he's just another basketball player.
No, he was the bridge between the Jordan era and with the new generation now of players.
And LeBron. Like, LeBron will be that for this next generation.
Yeah, exactly.
But Kobe was the guy who filled that gap between Jordan and LeBron. And
it took a lot to get there.
Yeah, absolutely.
He experienced so much success early on in his career, and then it was like right after the scandal,
right?
And then it seemed like there was a dichotomy of his career and his life at that point, right? So before that, he had experienced so much success with Shaq, three-peat, and then he ran him out of town, and then you know he breaks up the dynasty, and then he goes to rebuild. He wanted a trade, if you remember that, like, and then right after that, he went on to have his best season ever, and you know, so. Like, at that point, it was like when he had, after that, he had the best year. It seemed like he matured then, right? So you can see that's when he went through the Mamba mentality. That's when it crystallized then. So, yeah, I mean, like.
When did the Mamba thing become a thing?
After that scandal. And that was it, man. Like, it was like the singular focus. Okay. Like because Nike came back, because they just kind of backed off marketing him. But then after he had, like, towards that MVP season, like, that's when they went full bore to it. So,
and people were, like, kind of, like, questioning, like, Nike's judgment for supporting him.
Back then.
I think at that time, he was just, like, he already made his amends. He said sorry. He worked things out with his wife.
I'm not even going to delve into that whole controversy with the bloggers and the Washington Post newspaper writers that
wanted to
make that the
man
discussion
has, like, that, it was so sick.
They hadn't even recovered the body yet, and already they're saying it's okay to be conflicted about your perspective.
Everyone has their own opinion. That's fine.
Go screw.
But my God, the man, hours. God. I was like, yo, that's just poor taste.
As a liberal,
poor judgment.
As a liberal, I hate the liberal media. That's as far as I'm gonna go. But I mean, it speaks to the character of the guy that he became, I guess, in the wake of all of that. Like he had his low points on the court and off the court.
We're all human, man.
Exactly. And he found a way to bounce back, and it was, I guess, the mentality where he was not going to be denied at any point.
And I think for me, it's like, I mean, you guys nailed it. I mean, he's been in the league for so long. Like I grew up watching Jordan. You know, I didn't watch him. I didn't watch him obviously when he was a rookie coming into the league. So Kobe was that first player that I've watched every step of the way from high school to the league, and seeing him retire. And you know, I've seen him when he played in DC. I've seen him in LA. There's times where I flew to LA just to watch his games. I watched the. I don't know if you
how guys, awesome is that in hindsight.
It's awesome, man. The one game I remember watching in LA where I flew out there specifically for the game was against Miami, where he hit the game winner over D Wade.
Yeah,
I was there for that. Amazing, man. It was incredible. It was just one of those performances that it was just like, why he's definitely GOAT too, you know,
baby
and then,
GOAT.
And then when I made the move out to San Diego. I and that was his last year. We had to go up to LA to watch his game, so we went up to LA, his final season, watched him play there, And it was emotional, man, seeing, you know, and even like when he was playing in the Olympic in the for the USA team, we went out to watch him play for the US team for one of their exhibitions here in DC. Like I followed his career so closely, and then after the year that he retired and was the year that I had our, you know, we had our girls. And then that was also like kind of like he walked away from the game and rededicated his life to his kids. And it had a huge impact on me just seeing like he made them like he was ready to give up the game. Just like, I'm just going to be a family man from here on out and focus on business here on out. And it just turns out that one of his daughters was so passionate about the game as much as he was, and it brought him back. And that's what hit me the most. It's like, you know, it's insane, man.
Yeah.
And you know, so it's like it's just this roller coaster of watching his career, and he's so close to us in age, and
yeah.
You know, it got me to a dark place, because it's like I thought about that, and then for whatever reason I started thinking about, you know. It's even hard to talk about a boy that passed away.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it just one after another thing, and it was just like it was messed up, man. And then on top of all that, there was the wifey's uncle passed away this week, so we had to go to Fairfax Memorial, do the whole funeral service.
Wow.
And
this week sucks.
And then somehow I got pulled into being a pallbearer when I showed up, so I had to like go through this. It's just like, and then I felt like we were so close to where our boy was buried.
Yeah.
And it was just like a weird week, man. It was just like, what's going on, man? Like, is someone trying to tell me something? Like, I don't know what it is.
Everyone, it puts it into perspective, man. That's all. Like, life is, the next day is not guaranteed, right? So you just make the most of it each day.
Yeah.
That's what you need to do.
But what was, pretty cool on that Sunday, though. It's like, you know, it's just like given the news, just like, I don't know, just the exchange between us. I've gotten texts that day. I guess people know how much he meant to me.
We know.
Like, even like, I don't really talk to my brother that much. He sent me a message.
Oh, wow.
808. He messaged me that day to check in.
Wow.
It's like that day meant a lot to me, just on different levels, and it was messed up, man.
Yeah,
it's gonna be difficult for a long time. I mean, you know, so you just take it one day at a time. Some days will be better than others, but you just take it in stride, man. So just don't drink too much to numb the pain.
I was just gonna say, most days will be better than others if you're drinking this Four Roses small batch. That'll kind of level you out a little bit. Don't go overboard, because this shit is smooth. I think I threw back like a solid 7 or 8 glasses of whiskey on Sunday, the day that he passed. But I'd be willing to throw back a little bit more tonight in honor of the Mamba mentality. So let's say cheers to the Cobes and Gigi and the other victims of the crash.
Oh, definitely. Mean,
it's a small token, but you know. It is what it is, and we'll...
Condolences out to everybody and all their families.
It's tough. Well...
But, you know, we get to see another day. We're still alive.
I'm so appreciative of you boys. The whole... I don't want to bum you guys out anymore, but the notion that he was a father, like he's... Again, I mentioned that I wasn't the biggest Kobe fan, but in the years since, he's just like kind of been renowned as this incredible father in person. So, seeing that he lost his life as with his daughter,
doing what he was doing, he's being a dad.
Yeah, but
that's what sucks about it. It hit a lot of people on. So the thing about it is like you idolize him as a player and a person. But like it hits a lot of people on so many levels, because A, you think about it, like he was someone who had a ton of resources and it was just taken away. But then B, you know, like he is a father, he's a parent. So as a parent myself, I feel it's a helpless harder. Feeling. Yeah, it's a helpless feeling. Like, okay, you just make sure that hopefully that you have everything lined up in case something bad happens.
Right.
You know, so that your children are cared for in any sort of way. So
well,
think about mortality. Like, man, seriously.
It lets you guys focus on that. But given the whole story, like, I thought of you guys, like, you guys are incredible fathers. So I'm appreciative that you guys make the time to do this stupid show with me on a week-to-week basis. But I say cheers to you guys as well for being the great dads that you are.
Yo!
So,
cheers, man.
Happy Lunar New Year.
Happy New Year.
To all the dads. We appreciate you. And yeah. Well, I'll say thank you for sharing your experience, Ice. I know it's been a tough week.
It's hard, man. Like,
it'll take some time.
Yeah.
It with any tragedies, like, everyone tries to say it's definitely going to get better. I mean, it you can't guarantee any of that. Just take every day that you can, and of course, be the fathers that you guys are to your kids, and just keep doing what you're doing.
On that note, I'll end the show on this. Like, I thought it was fitting. I found a clip. I remembered a clip when Kobe was retiring and everyone did a tribute video to him. And I just thought it was eerily fitting for this moment. So I'll play this on to close out the show. So, but thanks guys. Sorry, it's always a wreck. But yeah, there you go.
Dear Kobe.
Dear Kobe.
Dear Kobe.
Dear Kobe.
Dear Kobe, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Kobe Bean.
Kobe, thank you, man.
Dear Kobe, thank you.
Thank you for your passion, your commitment, and dedication to basketball.
Thank you for showing us that the number 24 isn't just the number on your jersey, but the amount of hours in a day that you have to devote to the game to be the best.
Thank you for giving and giving and giving.
Thank you for pushing through when your body says no, but your heart said yes.
Thank you for the games that you refuse to lose and the ones you always seem destined to win.
Thank you for your endless drive.
For showing us that even on your worst day, there's nothing else to do but push harder.
For showing us there's no such thing as magic, but only hard work.
Thank you for playing the game the way it was meant to be played.
Thank you for teaching us to believe in ourselves,
even when nobody else did.
For 20 years, you gave our game all you had, and we are eternally grateful.
Thank you for being you, competitor supreme.
Thank you for loving the game of basketball.
Congratulations, and we're going to keep chasing you.